The flyby tradition, as we remember it, has been part of our tradition here for with weddings, of course, and in the main. And then in recent years, because of the fact that a local competition used to be held here on about St. Stephen's Day for the best strawby team in the parish, it has been part of the St. Stephen's Day scene for a number of years also. It provides great enjoyment, and the fact that they were always welcome at a wedding was something, you know, which was very much part of the tradition. And then if you take the competition, for instance, it doesn't matter what's happening in the parish on the night of the strawby competition, you'd get a packed hall, so that even though the tradition itself has died down, in as much as that you don't have them coming to weddings, and the house weddings are gone, except indeed that in some hotels the strawberries have come in at weddings, and even at quite recently, and have been well accepted. But it's part of our tradition, and it's everybody seems to enjoy it, and we've carried it on, and we hope that it will be carried on in the future.
Well, they were the Buachaillí Bána of history, like, you know, and the Buachaillí Bána, in fact, were people like that were either evicted from their lands in times gone by, and they raided the people that had possessed their lands. I think it started possibly in Ulster. I may be very wrong in this. It probably was a tradition maybe in various parts of the land, and those people who were dispossessed like made their raids every now and again, and they adapted the straw hats and the white shirts. And as you notice here in Corran, like, that there's still a white shirt and a sheet and all that over you, and a straw hat, and they were very sort of elementary items of clothing that could be got, you know, they could be got easily, and they could easily make their straw hats. And they raided in the past, I think they raided the people who had dispossessed them, or they got their own back on whatever people victimized them. And I would think that this straw by fun tradition that we have at the moment has a very definite root in history, and that it would stem from there. Like, but there's a mystic link missing, and I can't feel it.
Even though the clamoury started out as a traditional thing, they have become a great attraction on St. Stephen's Day, because the team goes out and does the rounds, goes to all the different places in the parish, and they have great fun. It's great crack, surely.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you about I remember I was around about 15 years of age, and my experience of the clamoury was at weddings. And it kept going up till about 15 years ago. But fair play to this village, Corran. They kept it up, and it's still going. And the other villages are taking it on now. But on St. Stephen's Day, I had a good experience. I enjoyed it because I come into the pub I was in, and that was one day I enjoyed. And I think it's going to be the common thing in Achill. And throughout Mayo, if anyone that the villages that knows about.
Well, there are other villages which have taken it up as well. You have many villages in North Mayo. We even had them up here, you know, up in the our local pub here, where they came up and everybody had an enjoyable night when they were here.
Because the clamory, because you're the thing about the clamory, that they come in and you're just trying to figure out who's that. And, you know, it's enjoyable and everybody joins in. And I reckon it's a great thing.
Well, one of the great things I think about the clamory is the enjoyment that the young kids get out of it. And they really love it. Their eyes light up and they really enjoy it. They do. And
you can imagine kids seeing something like with the clamory, the hats on and all that. It's something like, just like something out of space for them, really.
Well, you see, if you like, it was a spontaneous thing, if you like. Maybe a few lads would get together in the house and they'd pull a few sheaves of straw and make the hats in an hour or two. And then I suppose if one or two teams met on the road, they might sort of compromise and club up and rather than have too many going to the same wedding. But they were always part of the scene. And those, especially the young people, I think, going to a wedding in the past, would always look forward to seeing the straw boys coming in. It was generally the highlight of the wedding itself when the straw boys came in.
God almighty. My first memory is 70 years ago, at least, going into a wedding house as a small boy. And to see the straw boys coming in with a couple of barrels of porter. And when there was a wedding in that house, by God, the natives around them weren't afraid to give a couple of chickens or any damn thing. And you got a big leg of chicken when you went into the wedding house. That's enough. Next thing, the caper started with the dancing and the singing and the lot. And at the heel of the hunt, the straw boys came in and a big bucket of porter, and you'd see them drinking it under the straw hat for fear they'd be known.
Dancing on the flag floor.
There's
a dance on the flag floor, you see, in them days, you know, and there was no concrete floors or anything like that, and the lodging would be playing about in the corner, and when they'd go in, you see, the captain would go in first, and he cleared the way with that's the idea of him having the stick with him. And out of the audience that would be in the house there, he'd pick the women to dance with the clamories, as it was, you know.
Traditionally, you had, and it's still the same, you had a captain, you had a musician. That wasn't necessarily now part of the makeup in the past. If they didn't have a musician, you'd have a musician playing at a wedding in any case, and he would fill in that part. You had four dancers. You had an old man and an old woman. And then the dancers for the actual performance that they did in the wedding house. The dancers were picked from the people around the floor, and indeed, very often when the captain picked the dancers, he would make the mistake maybe of picking them from his own village, so that it was an indication to the people in the attending the wedding where they came from, the particular village they came from. Say, this is Curran, now Belfarset is the next village. Well, if a dancer, if the captain picked a few girls from Belfarset, he would be making it more or less obvious that that particular team of Strawboys had come from Belfarset. So they were always welcome. It was regarded as being lucky if they came to a wedding. They were always well treated. They got their couple of cans of porter, and they usually adjourned maybe to the next house or someplace nearby where they drank their few cans of porter.
I'm 39 years old myself, and I remember being at two house weddings. Like, you know, it's all receptions in big hotels now. You have to travel out and you have to do various modern 19th or 20th century duties. But I remember one house wedding that the Strawboys arrived at about 12 o'clock at night. I was only a young boy at the time. And for me, they were absolutely fascinating. And there was no sort of draft Guinness as we know it now. It was a big barrel of porter inside in the house.
Yeah, that was right.
And there were jugs underneath it, and there were buckets underneath that, and the clamoury came in at about 12:30. And we had nobody expected them, really, except that it was looked on at the time as sort of a good omen on the part of the couple that the clamoury would turn up. And they did turn up anyway, and they couldn't actually drink. They danced with all the girls and the men of the kitchen, as it happened at the time. We used to call it the kitchen. It was the middle part of the house, and there was a great few reels and jigs danced. And then afterwards, I spotted that there was a full bucket of porter being filled, and in fact it was taken outside the door, and a rake of mugs, they weren't pint glass or anything, were taken out as well.
That's right.
And I later had to go out to relieve myself later on, and I spotted all these specimens that had the straw hats on inside, and I spotted them just helping themselves to the mugs of porter at the gable of the house, and
it
was a beautiful thing, you know.
That was
so that was 20 years ago. That was Mary Devers' wedding.
Well, I remember a story about a fella who got a number of girls to join with him for a wedding. He failed to get some of the lads. This would be laterally now, and he was fairly fond of the porter, and anyway, they were on the way home, and he was sort of they were walking, of course, and they were on the way home, and he was clapping himself on the back and saying, "Well, we had a good night, we got plenty to drink, and so on and so forth." And Next thing he says, "Hi lads, we'd pull up here for a slash." He forgot that there were a number of women in the party, and well, it's just one of the stories that's come to mind about the thing, you know.
We had a lot of fun. Like, we used to have the competition in the sound hall and the Cailleach an the Seán, and you weren't necessarily male and female, you know. And I remember one gentleman that we had to dress up as a woman, and we had a terrible job blowing balloons, like, to give him appropriate boobs and all that. Like, it was a lot of fun. Yes. And I think one of them burst at the actual performance, like, so we really enjoyed ourselves, you know. Those are my memories of it anyway, like, but I know that I always had hay fever for 3 or 4 days after wearing the straw hat, you know. Plus the fact that the ferrety, if he wasn't a sort of a discreet person, like, you know, he could give you a very bad blow of a stick or something, you see. So you're trying to play a tune on a melodeon or something afterwards, you see. And this, I suppose, happens with the spirit of Christmas, because this commemorative thing happens around Christmas time, so... Sometimes people slightly forget the rules. Well, that's it, isn't it?
Shem Trulina, Mishima, Mishishem Trulina, Mishima, Faji. Shem Trulina, Mishima, Mishishem Trulina, Mishima, Faji. Rahunga Kale, Kale, Rahunga Kale, Faji. Rahunga Kale, Kale, Rahunga Kale, Faji.
Straw hats are made from either straw oats, straw or rye. Well, the rye is stronger, and they're made up, and usually they're made in a hurry at the last minute for the teams, and the teams decide to, when they decide to put in a team or for the weddings. And there's no better man than Tom's here to tell you about them.
Well, the way it is with straw hats, you see, if you have good straw, you'll make a good hat. As the fella said long ago, there's no man able to make a hat like a hatter. So you get a hold of the straw, you see, and you have to make, you see, a thing there, you see, and put the straws around, right up there. And if you have good, strong straw, you see, they'll keep up. But if you have that oaten straw, it'll start to... But the old ones were rushes in the olden times. Rush hats used to make. Something like you make that Crasog Vrija or anything like that, you know. You make it the same way, but you join it around. There's nothing much in it.
So they'd go to a stack of rye if they could, Thomas, and pull a few shaves and get into a house. How long would it take to make a set, Thomas, about... Make them in a few hours.
You'd make a hat now if you had somebody to look after you at Wisps. You'd make it in about 20 or like half an hour anyway.
Yeah. And there was a special one then for the captain, wasn't there?
Yes, he had, and he well, of course, you see, the way it was in the olden times, you see, you had to have the hat. Well, down on you, see, because when you were drinking that cup of porter you got out of the bucket, you see, you'd have to keep the hat middling well down, you see, how nobody know you. That was clamoury.
Oh, that was clamoury. Right.
But there was a question asked earlier on, like, what does the clamoury mean?
It's stuckerer.
Yeah, I know.
A fella that went without wedding garment, as you might say.
Yeah, stuck with it. Nearly the biblical thing like that, the man that wasn't invited to the wedding feast.
A scroungel.
A scroungel, yeah, it's proper scroungel, yeah.
Yeah. But there's another meaning offered for it as well. Like, you see that a wedding is a clownus.
No, a clownus is not a wedding.
It is not.
No, it's a matchmaking business.
That's
that.
Right.
It's a preparation for the wedding.
Banish is the wedding.
Banish is the wedding.
I know, but the point about it...
What's matchmaking?
The clownus was matchmaking.
Clownus, but surely, like, there's no connection, I think.
The dragon home. Came off the road.
The clowners might get broken up and the wedding was off.
Maybe, but then the clownery might get broken up as well. They mightn't be able to attend. So that the clowners might have come out of the...
No,
the
clownery didn't come into it until the wedding was there.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And then, you see, if you got an invitation, you were all right. If you hadn't, make a hat.
And go to the clownery.
Go on the clownery. You are a fellow that hadn't a wooden garment, you see. Oh.
But songs, old people, and they were able to make songs about one another, and one wanted to make us, I'd make a song about you, you'd make another one and reply back to me. Well, them songs, and they were the finest, and I heard them sung, and there were some of them fought over them damn songs, and the damn fact ridiculing one another near in the sounds. All them are down in the graves now, and there were illiterate people that hadn't from A to a Z, and they could sing them songs like Goodo. But all them are gone and dead and buried. And it's a pity, you know. I heard several of them, but I'm not able to sing them now. Oh, no, I couldn't do it. But I know you composed a song about me. I replied back to you, if I wasn't able to do it, I got some other smart man that was, able to reply to you again and ridicule you. And, that was damn right. I seen that in my days. And I was a young fella, I'm almost 80 years now. I don't know how they could do it, but they could make up a song in a few minutes reply to you after I heard it in a wedding house or something, a song somewhere about them, by God, they were able to come back. And it was all Irish songs, you know, that there was. Oh, there was. Oh, no doubt about it.
They have.
Yeah, lost is right, and dead and buried in the graves with them.
They are, yeah, they are, that's for sure. I remember listening to a song from Clonagh just a couple of nights ago, and it brought back memories to me. I used to teach in Dunever at one stage, and there was an old woman by the name of Maudie Heveron there, and she used to sing The Streets of Derry. And all the lines I could remember was, my love was like, he was more like a commanding officer than one to die on the gallows tree. So I thought that song had died, but Nuala Ní Gonadh is still singing it, God bless her. But it brought me back to Maudie's fireside. And she was an 80-year-old woman, that's some 20 years ago. And I was right in by that fireside again, and I was right in with the hospitality of those 20 years ago, and I treasured it, and I'm glad that the song hasn't died. But I'm sure that there are many others that have died. And I suppose with our mass media, we're doing a lot of things, but we fail to communicate with each other because we're looking at a little box in the corner. But there are lots of people in silent places and in hillsides and valleys that have an awful lot to contribute, but they don't belong possibly to our present world.
Yeah.
And that's where I sort of get upset once in a while when I see an old man on the road with a donkey maybe or the cart and all that, and I say, well, he mightn't belong to the EC or he mightn't belong to this, that and the other, but he belongs to us. The only thing is that we have failed to treasure him. And I would like that if in future that those beautiful old people that smoke their pipes and could sit down for half the day on a fence, that they could be listened to and enjoyed, but we're too much in a hurry.
Right. Fireside chat at night time in the old homes. It was grand to listen to them.
I'd like to sing you a song now that I learned from an old man years ago. It was Michael Horicon, Michael Ndadowsi, that used to call to Gracie Anthony years ago to get his shoes mended. Michael Ndadowsi, as people might know, means Michael of the Fairies, and we enjoyed many nights at wakes in times gone by listening to Michael telling his stories about Nadini that were lofa, as they say. Nadini Mahia are the Dini and the people that were Tukies. You know, there were lots of all those people. That was a world of 20 plus years ago. And the song I learned from Michael, I think Father Dever out in Miami knows it as well. I think the two of us are the only local exponents of it. I don't know if other people have picked it up from us or not. It's called Mulrenny Town. So I'll have a go at it. Oh, 'tis just last summer I took a notion to forget life's care and sorrows drowned. I boarded a liner and crossed the ocean and steered my course for Mulrenny Town. Well, I must confess that I was a stranger to those kind friends that I used to know. For some have gone for to meet their maker, and more are exiled on a foreign shore. Oh, there lies Clubay, with its lovely islands, speckled over its waters grand, where in our youth we did roam together for to sport and play on its golden sand.
you could see the cows come home a-looin', the sheep a-grazin' on the mountainside. You could see the hilltops in glory glowin' as the sun it set neath the Atlantic tide. Across the water there stands Kilpatrick, covered over with heather brown. And St. Patrick, in prayer and fasting, did oft times gaze upon Mulrenny town. Oh, life it is, both free and easy, and won't you wait now for a cup of tea? Oru, Oru, what is your hurry? Sure tomorrow brings yet another day. And if I was a man of leisure, sure it's told Erin, I would soon be bound. There I'd settle down among the kindly neighbours that you will find around Mulrenny town. Sure.
And great real dancers.
Well, but you had to be a dancer or a musician or something. And it was no nonsense, you know. You had to go to town on the reed and sideship it and do the lot. There was no nonsense in this round. And
I see Nancy Drummond could dance on the lot of the man. By God, they could dance real.
What are you talking about? Well, sure, they got it from Doherty.
And the cocksock.
Yeah. And they got it from Doherty.
I don't know. They got it.
Was there a tradition at one stage, that if Clamory wouldn't be allowed into the house, if the wedding was over full or something, was there a tradition that they'd put an old scraw of sod on the chimney and give them out?
They turned them away and that was it.
They'd accept them or they wouldn't accept them?
That's it. Right. You'd be asked. You couldn't go into the house without going to the house and asking.
Was it okay for the Clamory to come in?
If it was all okay for the Clamory to come in, he came in. And if it wasn't, well.
Yeah, well, I heard suggestions like that there might have been devilment as well. That some of these guys, if they didn't get invited, that they might just have put an old straw on the chimney and smoked them out.
That could happen, all right. But if you wouldn't be allowed in, well, you didn't bother going.
You were graceful enough not to bother.
I walked away. There was no devilment that way. No, they were all straightforward people. But that was what it was. You see, the straw boy job was what you might call a fellow that didn't get an invitation to the wedding. And the only way he'd get in is make a hat and put a sheet around him get in. And then, you see, the porter would go round in a bucket and a cup. And some of them wouldn't let you in at all. But anyway, if you got in, you see, you kept the hat well up and put back your mug of porter or cup or whatever it was, you know. And you are satisfied with that.
As well as that, too, you see, you had... There were occasions maybe when people would have travelled a distance, maybe 6 or 7 miles, or 8 or 9 miles, and this would be known to the people of the house that if there were two or three teams that they possibly didn't come from the immediate vicinity. And with the tradition that people have in the west of Ireland for looking after the stranger or giving him the cup of tea, that, you know, that would hold in the case with the Strawbys too, that they wouldn't go back to their own village and have it to say that the, at least the man of the house wouldn't allow them to go back to their own village and give them the chance of saying that they hadn't been well received or that they weren't looked after when they came to visit the wedding. Of course, young people at that time, they didn't have any form of entertainment, they didn't have radio or television even, and you had the pattern of life here where you had migration and where you had a big number of families home during the winter time, and the amount of enjoyment that was available to them was very, or entertainment that was available to them was very limited. And they were always prepared to get together and do something like this when the occasion warranted it.
And in the olden days, you know, you see, there was the relations were all invited. Anyone connected in the family were invited to a wedding. But the boys would be sitting around and nothing to do. We played cards and all that. But then again, the lads, someone would say, right, lads, there's what about the clamour? Make the straw. Every man could make a hat then, you know. Not many now, it's a bit of an art now. There's not a lot of people around to make the hats.
Well, I learned the Thomas Ruddy here that showed me how to make the hats, you know, and my sister and I make the hats for ourselves now, you know. But the youngsters have an interest in making them, but as long as there's somebody there to show them how to go about it, you know.
And in the olden days, the best thing about it was that the collar, the old woman, had a black shawl.
That's right.
Well, she had the stick, and no one could take the shawling, could do anything because the collar was watching. That was
the shawling would have a bottle of whiskey in his pocket, yeah. And they'd end up fighting over the whiskey.
The shawling would make sure that the collar would make sure that the shawling wasn't hit.
I think that was the best part of the clamoury, really, the shawling and the collar. You know, most people seem to get most enjoyment out of that.
And it was really just because, just for a crack and a dance, you know, anyone that was not very inclined to go for a night, maybe get a drink too, if they'd allow you in.
Well, it's a pity that more people don't know about them and that it isn't more widespread throughout the country, well, because it is great fun. It is, people get great enjoyment out of it. And
yeah, well,
I think it's mostly this part of the country, in Mayo, maybe parts of Galway and parts of Clare, where they have the clamoury, but I think, as far as I know, that they don't have it in other parts of the country. And it's a great pity, really, because they may have had it in olden days, but it would be nice to see it revived throughout the country.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised that Galway now, I should imagine that Galway should have taken it on more than, you know, as much as Mayo has done. because often all the, you hear the lads talking about glamouries and that, but I can't see why it has to be Mayo. It's Galway should be.
Well, there isn't an awful, there isn't much to it really. Any place where they have set dances, it would be easy enough to go about it and to revive the whole tradition throughout the country, because you have set dances in the south in Kerry and Cork and up along the west coast in general you have, and it would be a pity to see it fade away.
Well, what I like about the Clamorys in these recent years now is the music and the sing-song that goes with it, you know.
That's true, because and it's not just while the Clamory are performing that the fun is in it. There seems to be, they seem to get great interest in the people who attend, and the talent is there.
The sing-song is accordion player, you can act them, they're all well-talented.
And of course then, you see, the tradition again was that they would go out and they would go to the party, whatever party, whether it be a wedding or whatever, and they would go and take out somebody out of the crowd, and that person would dance with waltz. Usually they take them out to waltz and they wonder who they were, you know, and of course everybody would wait to see who the Shani and Kyla would go for, and that they seem to be the centre of attention most of the time.
The most county, I reckon, for the good musicians are, I'll have to say this, that the best county, I say, is Clare, County Clare, for music. I can't see why can they have the Clamory, because they could go. County Clare is definitely the best traditional Irish music county that I have.
I agree with Johnny, it is.
Yeah, in my estimation, anyway.
Anish Bedavsagun on Chanana Gosan Hala.
Cheers. He fought and died for Ireland with the Irish volunteers. He fought the English 10-1, he tamed their Saxon pride. But now our gallant chief is gone. God rest your soul, McBride. What Croger and the fearless Boers, you fought for liberty. And when you saw not so then sure it was to make her free. When shallow red blood ceased to flow, when shallow tears be dried, or who would raise that flag let low but Major John McBride? From Nathan's breast to Corrib's crest, from Cong to Finchley Moor, here lies the cream of Connaught's best. God kiss the cross you bore. And whilst the Mai sweeps proudly down to join tier all his tide, all Irishmen will bless the name of Major John McBride. And now when burst the dawning's light of freedom's coming day, a monument we'll erect for you beside your own club bay. And as Kilpatrick soars aloft in high majestic pride, all Irish hearts will bless the name of Major John McBride.
Well, the cup that was put up here was, well, it goes back 16 or 17 years now. It is for the competition, the Rotel competition. It was named after an old man called Martin Cooney, who was a tremendous character and who had retired from England and was getting his old age pension and his contributory pension, and he used to get teams of strawboys up for weddings. And it was decided to commemorate his memory by having this cup presented to the winning team each year at the competition. And we always managed to have six or seven teams. And I think that, you know, the thing is going to continue, and that there will be young people who will be prepared to carry on the tradition. And hopefully we'll see it coming back again for weddings, for the, you know, even the hotel weddings, that the strawboys will come in and help to maintain the link with the past by continuing like this.
Well, one of the great things I think about the Clonmary is the enjoyment that the young kids get out of it, and they really love it. They their eyes light up and they really enjoy it. They do. And
definitely. Is this like for the kids? They surely enjoy it. The kids do.
Well, you go to the local competition, even in Ecclesound Hall now, where we have our annual competition, and the place is packed that night. It's packed to capacity. You couldn't get stand in room only with it, and it's mostly kids.
The reason I think they should keep it up, well, because the kids enjoy to watch the clamoring. But I enjoy, even in the pub when you walk in, and they walk in and see them. I remember you coming in one time to the sound, came into Connaughton one time. I tell you, it was great to watch it. I was standing there myself, and I was taken back.
Well, we have kind of made a habit of this now, where we go around, especially if you have a local wedding, and we might be asked to go from to weddings which are outside of the area, but they look forward to the Clamory coming in, because everybody enjoys it.
I sure do. The Clamory, all wait for the Clamory, and that what brings the crowds. The Clamory is going to be there, and I definitely enjoy to see the Clamory.
Even in the local competition, there's a lot of fun attached to it, you know. And I think the interest should be kept going, yes, indeed, it should. And the interest is, as far as the youngsters around here are concerned, the interest is still there. And even you might even have families, one family going in different teams, and then they don't want to come in, they're not allowed into the house if they're in a different team and there's a practice going on in that particular house. Not allowed in.
Oh,
I'll tell you, Jim, with the wind in our back, we're only mighty. And we're yetu nashan wadari nyerdini nisfarma namujhain le kor. Kor kwihya.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.